In the latest sign of recent tensions between the Trump administration and the military, Navy Secretary Richard V. Spencer resigned from his post on Sunday after Defense Secretary Mark Esper demanded that he step down. Spencer's resignation stemmed in large part from the case of the Navy SEAL Edward Gallagher. Earlier this year, a military court convicted Gallagher for posing for a photograph with the corpse of a 17-year-old ISIS captive. Though Gallagher was acquitted on charges of shooting civilians and murdering a captive Islamic State fighter. After Gallagher's conviction, the Navy demoted him. But earlier this month, President Trump reversed that decision, setting off what many say is an unprecedented display of exercising presidential authority over a legal military decision. President Trump and Navy Secretary Spencer openly disagreed over whether the Navy would reverse course and investigate Gallagher further. On Sunday afternoon, Defense Secretary Mark Esper declared that he had lost trust in Spencer's leadership and was asking for the secretary's resignation. Esper was saying that Spencer had attempted to make a side deal with the White House to restore Gallagher's rank. By Sunday evening, in a letter to President Trump, Secretary Spencer said, quote, "I no longer share the same understanding with the commander-in-chief who appointed me in regards to the key principle of good order and discipline." I'm Tanzina Vega, and that's where we start today on The Takeaway. Joining me now is Leo Shane III, the deputy editor at Military Times. Leo, welcome to the program.
Thanks for the invitation.
Also with us is Gary Solis, a military lawyer and retired professor from West Point, and a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps who spent 17 months as a combat arms officer in Vietnam. Gary, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Gary, we'll start with you. The latest news is obviously the resignation of Navy Secretary Richard V. Spencer. How significant is this in your opinion?
Well, it's very significant. I can't think of the last time that SecNav has been fired, but Spencer is a retired Marine, and regardless of the merits of his of his case, he should know that you don't go to the general without clearing it with your colonel. And now he's having that dictum reinforced.
And we'll get a little bit into the conflicting reports we heard about how this happened. But I'm wondering, Gary, if you had any thoughts on the resignation letter itself. And I'll just read you one line that really stood out to us was, and I'm quoting Spencer here. He says, "I no longer share the same understanding with the commander-in-chief who appointed me in regards to the key principle of good order and discipline."
Yes, I think that that's a very good point. And I think it goes to the heart of what the Gallagher case has become. I think that we are now beyond Gallagher and we're into military-civil relationships. And it's very unusual for the president to take such an active interest in such a really insignificant case. At least it's become an insignificant case in terms of the legal issues involved. It's been decided, but it's taken on an entirely new coloration that is very significant for the country and for the military, in my opinion.
Well, and you know, Gary, we've talked a lot about the relationship between President Trump and the military and how the president could be seen as undermining the military. Do you think that these latest developments paint that picture more clearly?
I think there's no doubt in the world that he has undermined military discipline, the military justice system. He's undermined command authority in the military, and he has done a disservice to the military by his disregard to the command system.
Leo, initially there were conflicting reports. One was a report that Spencer was prepared to step down if President Trump interfered with the disciplinary process against Edward Gallagher. And now we're hearing that Defense Secretary Mark Esper demanded that Spencer resign after finding out that Spencer basically went behind his back to try and strike a deal with the White House. What do you make of those conflicting reports?
Yeah, just a lot of confusion right now as to exactly what went down and what's to blame here. As Gary referenced, this is a individual case that has gotten a lot of attention in conservative circles, but has now turned into a full-blown scandal for the Trump administration and a pretty big headache here. So bottom line is that a Navy secretary who was a pick of President Trump and an ally of President Trump is out of a job over the handling of this one military criminal case. However you want to slice it, that's at the heart of this. Without Trump deciding to intervene, it's hard to see how Spencer ends up out of a job.
You all cover the military. That's what you do every day. when you look at the relationship between the Trump administration and the military, what does this latest story tell us about that relationship?
Trump has always enjoyed pretty high favorability rating among troops, although we've seen in our own polling that that number has slipped over the last few years. It'll be really interesting to see what the long-term reaction is. You know, we're hearing a pretty big spread right now. Folks who saw this case and the other two cases that involve pardons as really cases where they wanted the president to intervene, that maybe the military justice system wasn't fair to these guys. But a lot of folks who see it as really concerning, especially in this Gallagher case, this is more than just issuing a pardon. This is the president intervening and saying, no, you can't demote him for conduct unbecoming. You can't remove his SEAL trident. You can't kick him out of the SEALs. You know, really micromanaging to a level that we haven't seen from the commander in chief before, and taking this one case to an unprecedented height.
Gary, is that micromanagement that Leo's describing part of the commander-in-chief, i.e. the president's purview?
Well, it's within his authority, but just because he can doesn't mean he should. And I think that this is a great example of that axiom. Certainly he can do it, but no president has ever done it before. Well, actually, Kennedy set aside one case of disrespect to the president in 1962. But other than that, there has been in modern times no case that I'm aware of where the president has dipped down into the daily workings of the military justice system to put his thumb on the scale.
Now, Leo mentioned the two other officers who the president pardoned a little over a week ago. There's been, Gary, a lot of debate within the military community about that decision by President Trump. What are you hearing about those other cases?
Well, I have a lot of friends that remain in the military, and I'm often a speaker at various places, military places, and I have yet to run into an officer who has agreed with the course taken by the president. Goldstein and Lawrence were, in my opinion, clearly guilty, and in the opinion of the court, in Lawrence's case, guilty. And there was simply no basis, no legal basis for the president to become involved in the first place, and certainly not to pardon them, in my opinion.
Leo, in general, I mean, we see the president, this is the third time the president has intervened in something like this. Why do you think the president pardoned these officers? And just to follow that, what do you think the role of the conservative media has been in the narrative about these pardons so far?
Well, those two things are inherently connected here. What happened with these cases is, each of them became a cause celebrity amongst certain conservative groups. And what appears to have happened is the president is listening to some outside advisors who have convinced him that these were miscarriages of justice rather than folks within the military who are connected to the military justice system. You know, as Gary referenced, in Clint Lawrence's case, he was convicted of second-degree murder by a military tribunal, by military court, sentenced to 20 years and was serving out that sentence. And there's quite a few folks in conservative circles who decided that they didn't like that he shouldn't be punished for these cases. These were two Afghan insurgents who may or may not have retaliated against them. Lots of questions there, but you know, military justice system rendered a ruling, and the president said, no, I've decided that I have more facts than that extensive court case did.
And Leo, in cases like this, it's been fellow military members who have flagged the criminal behavior of their officers, their fellow officers, and have testified against them during court proceedings. What does it mean for them, sort of pivoting back to what Gary was saying in terms of this being unprecedented, what does it mean for them that the president then basically bypasses that and issues these pardons?
Yeah, I mean, you've got three folks who've gotten clemency here, but you've got a number of folks who testified against them, were prepared to testify against them, who now are left wondering why the president went against them. I'm sure there's some concerns about what it means for their careers now, if these guys are being held up as acceptable or as heroes in some circles. That paints them as the villains, and that's a big concern for a lot of these folks, and a concern among other folks that it'll have a chilling effect in the future, that, you know, that troops will be less willing to come forward and report wrongdoing if they think the president's just going to intervene and wave it off.
Gary, what is this? These pardons. What do these pardons tell us about the standard rules of engagement when it comes to the military?
As Leo has suggested, it undermines them. More than simply the rules of engagement, the law of armed conflict, which is what I taught at West Point before retirement, it has undermined military discipline. It has undermined the law of armed conflict. And I think more significantly, it has put U.S. troops on the level of our enemy. I mean, our allies are going to say, "Well, you know, we can't get a conviction when we have witnesses, and when we get a conviction, it's set aside. How can we depend on our allies, the Americans, to do that which they should on the battlefield? We are supposed to be the good guys, and we have, by these cases, by the dismissing, by the pardoning of these cases, we are brought down to the level of our enemy, and that's something that's going to be a long time to overcome."
And do you think this is this compromises the U.S.'s the U.S. military's moral high ground? Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it has done. We have lost the moral high ground. How can we go to our allies and say, "Now remember, you can't kill unarmed civilians," and they just look at us and laugh and say, "Have you heard of the Goldstein or Gallagher or Lawrence cases?" And that is a harm to the national reputation, to the morale of the armed forces. That is a shame.
Leo, are there concerns that this decision, or these cases, I should say, threaten our national security, whether that's by losing senior staff to resignations, as we've seen with Spencer, or whether that's by pardoning members of the military who've been convicted of war crimes? Do either of those lessen or weaken our national security here?
Yeah, I mean, if you had asked me a few days ago if I thought senior staff would end up resigning over this, I probably would have said no. But now we've got, we've lost the Navy Secretary over this, and we'll see just how far-reaching the after effects are. In the last few days, Senator Jack Reed, who's the ranking member of the Armed Services Committee, he took to the Senate floor to talk about this, and that was one of the points he raised. He said, "Look, this is bad, not just for the military, but for all of America, because it makes our troops less safe overseas." As Gary said, how can our allies, take us seriously when they see cases like this? And frankly, how can we expect our enemies to follow the Geneva Convention and other rules of war if they see U.S. troops being pardoned for these sort of things?
Leo Shane III is the deputy editor at Military Times, and Gary Solis is a military lawyer and retired professor from West Point. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And vets, we want to hear your voice on this, and also non-vets. You can give us a call at 877-8MYTAKE. We'll be back in a minute on The Takeaway.